so one of the chavra asked that we speak about dipping challah in soup on Shabbos, and apparently it's nogeya because on Friday night someone came over to me and said, so what's the deal with dipping challah in soup on Shabbos? So I thought that's a good time in halacha topic. So let's analyze. There is a concept called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, but there are many different methods of cooking. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul essentially means once you've already violated, once Bishul has already been done on an item, Bishul cannot be done again on the item, meaning one cannot violate Bishul on an item that's already been cooked. Bishul doesn't happen a second time. However, there are many methods of cooking, so which ones are considered a new kinds of qualitative change which can happen after Bishul? Meaning, for example, there is cooking, and there's frying, and there's roasting, and there's baking, and there are all different types of changing food through the use of heat. So even though in Bishul Achar Bishul, what about Bishul Achar Afiyah? What about Afiyah Achar Bishul? Which ones are considered a new qualitative change, and what would be prohibited after Bishul? So there is a basic machlokas rishon. The Mordechai in Shabbos al Shin Beis quotes a Yireim. This is a famous shitas Yireim, that even though ain bishul achar bishul, we hold yesh bishul, says Yireim, achar afia. That something that's been baked, if you then cook it, it's a violation of bishul. You're not allowed to cook something after baking or roasting it. He then says that you have to be careful not to put your challah in the soup, because it will cook your bread that's already been baked. The bread has been baked, but when you put it in hot soup, you are now cooking it, and not to put roasted things into your soup. He then says, "V'im asakein," and if you do that, chil Shabbos, you're mechal Shabbos. That's you might as well drive a car in Shabbos. And he has two rayas. The Gemara Pesachim, Daf Memalv, says that cooking a previously roasted Karban Pesach is a violation of cooking the Karban Pesach. So apparently the halacha is not allowed to cook Karban Pesach, but what if it's already been roasted and now you cook it? Yeah, it's still a violation of cooking the Karban Pesach, because that's still called cooking. So you see, apparently cooking something after it's already been baked, or roasted for that matter, is still called Bishul. And second, that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, it has to be lechem oni, and it has to be baked. So cooking a matzah takes away its status of a baked bread. And the Gemara in Pesachim, Mem Aleph, tells us that according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't fulfill your obligation of achilas matzah on Pesach if the matzah was first baked and then cooked in water. The Gemara says the same in Brachos Taf Lamechas. So this is not about gebrach. This is a din d'oraisa, right? Gebrach is a minna. There's a din d'oraisa that apparently cooking the matzah negates the previous baking, and now the matzah is considered a cooked item rather than a baked item. So apparently, yesh bishul acharafia, that is the shita sayireim. The Ravya totally disagrees, because the proof from the cooked matzah doesn't work, because the Gemara in Brachos Taf Lamechas says that the problem with cooked matzah is only that it loses its tam matzah. It's not that it has a din of mevushal versus ne'efa, it's just that it loses its tam matzah. It's a localized din in Hilchas Matzah. It's got nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos. As far as the din by Karban Pesach, the Gemara in Pesachim tries to make the comparison between Karban Pesach that's cooked and matzah that's cooked, but rejects the comparison by saying, Bashal Mevushal Mikol Makom, which seems to be a local din in Karban Pesach, that Bashal Mevushal Mikol Makom tells me that any remnant of any sort of bishul is going to pass the Karban Pesach. So again, a separate din by Karban Pesach, that even something that wouldn't normally be considered bishul by regular criteria, by Karban Pesach is going to be considered Mevushal. So here you have this machlokas between the Yireim on the one hand, holds that you're not allowed to cook something that's already been baked, and the Ravya, on the other hand, who says that you are. So the Beis Yosef says that the truth is the Gemaras really are a bam kasha on the Yireim. That which the Yireim thought was a raya to him, the Gemaras so clearly indicate that the dinim by matzah and karm pesach are unique to those areas of halacha that it's difficult to understand how the Yireim would defend himself. So one defense may come from reading the sugyas themselves, because unlike the Gemara in Brachos Taf Lamechas, the Gemara in Pesachim, after asking whether we compare matzah mevushals to Karban Pesach mevushal, never answers that the comparison is faulty on account of Bina Tam Matzah Veleka. That was only the Gemara in Brachos that gives that answer, that Bina Tam Matzah, which disqualifies matzah mushalas while allowing Korban Pesach mushal. Instead, the Gemara in its second answer rejects the comparison simply by saying that Korban Pesach is an exception because mushal mushal mikol makom. So the first answer apparently accepts the comparison between matzah and Pesach. So perhaps there is a machlokas hasugyos whether we hold the idea of being on top matzah v'lecha, and the Urayim paskins like the Gemara in Pesachim, which rejects the idea, while the Ravya paskins like the Gemara in Brachos, which accepts the idea. The problem with that approach is that the Gemara in Brachos uses being on top matzah v'lecha to explain why we say ha'adama on a cooked vegetable. Cooking isn't really mevatel the essence of the item. It just impacts matzah, which has a special din, dafka by matzah. So if you don't hold the answer of being a tam matzah, you would say shahakal on a cooked vegetable. The problem is, we paskin that you say adam on a cooked vegetable, as how can the Urayim then also paskin like the Gemara Pesachim against the Gemara Brachos? Okay, that's a lot to say, but we're not going to get, if you didn't follow all that, that's fine. But another defense of the Urayim is offered by the Eglital. The Eglital in Ofet, Tesvav Beis, says that the very phrase bina tam matzah v'leka is to indicate that Bishul takes away the afiyah. The phrase bina tam matzah can't just mean no, there's a separate din by matzah that you have to taste matzah, because we know that's not true. The Gemara says bala matzah yatza. If you swallow matzah without tasting it, you're yotze the mitzvah. The proof is it doesn't simply mean that you have to taste the matzah. It's from the fact that the Gemara follows up with a similar question about marar and says bina tam marar v'leka. Why didn't the Gemara already know that answer? We already said bina tam matzah v'leka. Why wouldn't the Gemara already know the same must be true about Marar? Because it must be that we know that Tam Matzah is a different din about losing the shame baked, whereas Bina Tam Mar Veleka is an actual din that Bala Mar Lo Yatza, they actually need to taste it. So maybe, says Eglital, when we say Bina Tam Matzah Veleka, what we're actually trying to say is that it has a shame Bishul now and not a shame of being Ne'efa. The Taz defends the Urayim in a third way, that the very fact that the taste changes is the very same reason it's usher to do it on Shabbos, because it's clearly a melech machshavas, because it's a significant improvement in the item. Taz points out that we're mechayiv mishum bishul when it's still improving, when it's mitstamek v'yafalo. That indicates that any qualitative change qualifies as bishul. So when the Gemara says be'inon tam matzav aleka, it's indicating that we recognize the qualitative change caused by cooking matzah. So tam matzah is not a localized din in matzah. It applies equally to bishul b'shabbos. It's just saying that there's a qualitative change. So whether that same din applies to Korban Pesach is subject to machlokas. It could be that Korban Pesach just has a din sli, and it doesn't matter what qualitative change you make to it. Or it could be that when the Gemara says b'shalom b'shalom mikal makom, it means to say that Korban Pesach also goes through a qualitative change. Rav Willig just points out that the nafkamina between the Eglital and the Taz is about toasting bread. The Taz would say it's aser, because the Taz holds any serious qualitative change is going to be a violation. So when you toast bread, toast is different than bread. But so that's a serious qualitative change. But the Eglital would say it's mutter, because the halachic status is not changed by the toasting. Toasting is just further baking. It's just baking it more. It's not a different kind of qualitative change. So that is the explanation for the various defenses of the Urayim. The second chiddush of the Sefer Urayim is that not only do we assume yesh bishul achar afiyah, but the Sefer Urayim has a second chiddush, which really is necessary if one wants to be machmir about putting challah in soup, is that it even happens in a kli sheni. Because most of the time when we dip our challah in the soup, we don't go to the soup pot, that's a kli rishon, and start dipping challahs in the soup pot. Most of the time we're doing it, it's in our soup bowl. The soup bowl is kli sheni or more, or further. So you'd have to be machmir that not only yesh bishul achar afiyah, you'd also have to be machmir that even happens in a klisheni. And the Urayim says, nachon, it happens even in a klisheni. You see, normally we assume klisheni eino mevashel, that a klisheni lacks the capacity to cook, it's not hot enough, that the dofne ha-kli cool down the liquid that you put in it, and it's not hot enough to cook. So normally we assume a klisheni eino mevashel afterwards. The Torah rejects the Sefer Urayim based on the fact that your soup bowl is a klisheni. So he says, even if you want to say that yesh bishul achar afiyah, but not in a klisheni. Klisheni is not mevashel anything. The Urayim clearly learns that while that may be true, that a klisheni is not mevashel, we know that there are exceptions to that rule. We know that there's something called kale habishul, things that are very easily cooked. So the Urayim learns bread is kale habishul. The Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos gives us like a couple of examples of kale habishul. The simple reading of the Mishnah is that most foods are presumed not to be kale habishul. Most foods are presumed not to be able to be cooked in a klisheni, meaning not to have to be subject to the change of bishul in a klisheni, and therefore mutter to cook in a klisheni. But the Urayim says that we have to assume that everything is kalei abishul unless proven otherwise, right? So it's a question of attitude. It's a question of assumption. Do we assume that nothing is kalei abishul unless you see that it's so clearly kalei abishul? Or do we assume everything is kalei abishul unless it's been identified by the Gemara as being one of the chumrei abishul, being one of those things that you know doesn't get cooked in a klisheni? So the Urayim was putting together two chumras, that yesh afia achar bishul, against the Ravya, and that bread is kalei abishul against the tour. The Urayim concludes, choshashni lo mi isra da oraisa, that I think both of these chumras are correct, I think they're right, and therefore when you put bread in hot soup in a klisheni, I think it's a violation of an isra da oraisa. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Hei quotes both opinions, first that of the Urayim, and then that of the Ravya. First the Urayim, the Yesh Bishlach Ravya, then the Ravya, the Ein Bishlach Ravya. According to Rav Avadya, and also his son in Yalkut Yosef, Rav Avadya is in Liv Yaschein, also Memtes, and Yalkut Yosef is in Shin Yud Ches, Samach Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes two opinions, he's passing like the second Yesh, that once food went through any form of bishul, you could reheat it in any way that you want. So even if it went through afia, you don't have to worry about bishul, like the shita of the Ravya. The Bir Alacha in Siv Tezvav, in Dibra Maskel V'Yavesh, seems to hold that the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is like the first yesh, to be machmir, like the Urayim, that you're not allowed to put bread into your soup. But that's all within the shitas hamechaber. The Ramah paskins very clearly that not only should we be machmir that yesh bishul achar afia, we even need to be machmir with the klisheni that yesh bishul achar afia, even in a klisheni. So you should be machmir not to put bread in a klisheni, and obviously not in a kli rishon when it's filled with hot liquid. Therefore, if you make tea from tea essence in a klisheni, you're not allowed to dip a cracker into the tea. Or if your soup is in a klisheni, you shouldn't put challah or baked croutons into the soup. However, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa points out that the croutons that you get, those little yellow tile croutons, those are not subject to this problem because those are deep fried in oil. Those were never baked. Those are deep fried, and therefore they have the status of being mevushal, and everyone agrees, ein bishal achar bishal. So you're even allowed to put those into a kli rishon. I think Rabbi Sablovsky said that one time he before he was aware that those were deep fried, he thought it's kedai to be machmir about the croutons, but he really liked croutons. So I think it was on Moresh HaKol one summer, they decided to put the croutons in the soup before Shabbos, and then have the croutons a few hours later, and they just had a bunch of little yellow sponges in their soup. It was disgusting. So that's not the way they're meant to be eaten. If you leave them there for too long, they just turn gross. So l'chora, there's no hesitation whatsoever about putting yellow croutons in your soup. If they were just fried and not deep fried, then it would be a machlokas as to what the status of frying is. The metzius is, though, that they're deep fried. So where we are right now is that if you have baked croutons, like those pieces of bread, you know, those toasty pieces of bread kind of croutons, or challah, you're not allowed to dip it in your soup because your soup is a klisheni, and the Ramah's machmir yesh bishlach harfiya in a klisheni. So is there any heter? So the Mishabura has a heter. Mishabura says, well, if the soup is in a klishlishi, it's mutter. If the soup is in a klisheni and a chanami, so here in camp, by the time it's in your bowl, it's for sure a klishlishi l'chaladeos, because it went from the big pot in the kitchen somewhere to whatever they scoop out the for the soup from the pot into the what do they call those things? The big serving bowls that they put on the table, and then from there to another ladle, and from there into your soup bowl. So it's l'chaladeos. It's at least a klishlishi. But that works with the assumption that heter, that it's klishi, that works with the assumption that there's something called the klishi shlishi, which is a concept that doesn't get mentioned in Shas or Rishonim. They don't talk about klishi shlishi. Gemara says the Mishnah said Kli Rishon is Mevashel, Kli Sheni is not Mevashel, except for Kali Abishel get cooked in a Kli Sheni. Never a word about a Kli Shlishi. No one says anything about a Kli Shlishi. The first person to think of the idea called Kli Shlishi or to mention it as a concept is the Prima Gadim. That's pretty late. So there are two attitudes toward Kli Shlishi, and why on earth did no Gemara or no Rishon ever mention Kli Shlishi? So Moshe held it was never discussed because it's obviously not something that can cook. Even a Kli Sheni can only cook Kali Abishel. Kli Shlishi probably can't cook anything, not even Kali Abishel. So Kli Shlishi, you're good to go, no problem. That's why Rav Moshe holds you can make tea in a Kli Shlishi, even though tea is a Kali Abishel, according to Rav Moshe, not according to Rav Salvage. But tea is a Kali Abishel, no problem. You can make tea in a Kli Shlishi. Rav Salvage holds you can make tea in a Kli Sheni, because he holds it's definitely not Kali Abishel. But most Rav Moshe and many other poskim hold that it's the classic example of Kali Abishel. But anyway, that's the Ashita of Rav Moshe. The Chazon Ish and Rav Salvechik understood that since a Kli Sheni also isn't Mevashel, so a Kli Shlishi is just like a Kli Sheni. It's something that's hot, that's not Mevashel. And what's the rule by a Kli Sheni? Kali Abishel get cooked in a Kli Sheni. So if Kali Abishel get cooked in a hot Kli Sheni, they also get cooked in a hot Kli Shlishi. So Rav Salvechik held you can make tea in a Kli Sheni because he thought that tea is not Kali Abishel. But if it were Kali Abishel, he wouldn't even allow it in a Kli Shlishi. He'd be more machmir than Rav Moshe. Mishnah Berurah is machmir like the Chazon Ish, like Rav Salvechik said, but that when there is another tzad lahakel, Mishnah Berurah says, then you can rely on that with combination of a Kli Shlishi. Meaning, even though Mishnah Berurah says, I think we have to be machmir about a Kli Shlishi having the ability to cook Kali Abishel, if there's some other tzad lahakel also, then you can use the fact that maybe Kli Shlishi is not Mevashel as a tzad lahakel. So do we have any other tzad lahakel when it comes to the soup? So the Mishnah Berurah paskins, yeah. Even though we're machmir like the Rama and say Yesh Bishel Acharafia like the Urayim, even in a Kli Sheni, you could put bread or croutons into your bowl of soup. Right? Why? Because you have the sheet of the Ravya that ain't Bishel Acharafia, plus the fact that it's a Kli Shlishi according to those deos that hold that Kli Shlishi helps. So Kli Shlishi could work as long as you're mitztarif it with something. And here we have something to be mitztarif it with. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah says that it's no problem. As long as it's a Kli Shlishi, it's no problem. Question is your bowl of soup always a Kli Shlishi? Meaning, here it is. At home, is it? Right? How do you get soup at home? So you have a big bowl, a big pot of soup. You stick a ladle in the pot of soup, and you ladle it into a bowl. So is the ladle the Kli Sheni, and therefore the bowl the Kli Shlishi? Or is the ladle still a Kli Rishon, because it gets immersed fully in the bowl, in the pot, rather. And then the bowl is only a Kli Sheni. So the Mishnah Berurah being Mekel seems to assume that soup is a Kli Shlishi, which is against the Taz. The Taz holds that a ladle has a din of a Kli Rishon, because it's dipped into the pot. However, it seems that the Mishnah Berurah contradicts himself when he says that, because in Sivkat and Pei Zayin, he says that a ladle does have a din of a Kli Rishon. So how could it be? Mishnah Berurah, on the one hand, is being Mekel over here, apparently assuming that your bowl is a Kli Shlishi, because he's assuming your ladle is a Kli Sheni, and he paskins like the Taz, that a ladle is a Kli Rishon. So Shmir Shabbos gives two answers. First, it's evident from the Mishnah Berurah himself in Sivkat and Pei Zayin, the ladle only receives the status of a Kli Rishon if it sits in the pot for an extended period of time. So it could be that ladle sometimes is a Kli Rishon. If the ladle is just hanging out in the pot, and then you pick it up, so then it's a Kli Rishon. But if you're just dipping it in and scooping out, dipping it in and scooping out, then it would be a Kli Sheni. Second, he says, since Bishel Acharafia is a Machlokas, and the halachic status of a ladle in a Kli Rishon is also a machlokas, so maybe we could be mekel, because it's enough stadim lahakel. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah is aware that ladle is a controversy, it's a machlokas. Bishel Acharafia is a machlokas, so maybe you could be mekel, that's considered a Kli Shlishi, and be mekel on the Kli Shlishi like the Ravya. All of this is only if there's only a discussion if the soup is still yatzeledes. If the soup is not even hot enough to be yatzeledes po, then of course there's no bishel, right? Something that was once in a Kli Rishon is not mevashel if it's freezing cold. So how do we define what's called freezing cold? anything that's below Yatzalah, this clearly doesn't have the ability to be Mevashel. So someone asked me, he had a little bit of soup left at the end of the bowl, I don't know, like an hour and a half after the waiters put the bowls on the table, you know, put the big pots on the table, the serving dishes on the table, and he asked me, can I put my challah in the soup? Yeah, you could put the challah in the soup the same way you could put the challah in soda. I mean, it was cold, and there was nothing wrong with it at that time. So to summarize, if your bowl is a kli shlishi, we are mekel, mishmur is mekel, that you're allowed to dip your challah in the soup, but if the bowl is a kli sheni, the mishmur is machmir, like the sheet of the Yireim, that yesh bishel achar afia, while the soup is still above Yatzalah, that's still piping hot, it's a good idea to if the ladle spent a good amount of time in the soup pot, it's a good idea to be machmir. Yeah.
Even if you say the ladle spends a lot of time in the soup pot, is there any way to say a spoon is also plate and that's only spending less time?
Yeah, but you're not. If well, certainly if you just takes them out with your spoon and then you dip the challah with a spoon.
You
know, but that's irrelevant because we're talking about dipping the challah into the soup, right? And that's in the bowl, that's not in the spoon. If you want to dip your challah into the spoon, then for sure fine. Okay, then it'll also be below Yatzalah. You haven't got something before?
You answered it.
Oh, okay, see, that's why I tell you to wait. Okay, all right.